Well, we thank the Lord for the praises of music to Him today, and certainly your hearts. Years ago, I heard Paul Harvey define what an optimist and a pessimist was. I was trying to look at it from a biblical point of view, that maybe an optimist was somebody who saw what God could do and would jump onto that, and a pessimist was somebody who knew the need for God and any lack there and jumped onto that. But Paul Harvey said the difference between an optimist and a pessimist is an optimist invented the airplane and a pessimist invented the parachute. And I think I'd hang out with the guy who invented the parachute just for fear's sake. But a lot of people, when they look at what God can do, sometimes you look at other people and be an optimist and say, God can do great things in their life. And sometimes you look at yourself and say, not me. And see a lot of need there, but God can meet you there. And sometimes you'll be opposite. You look at other people and say, and you'll look at yourself and say, oh, God can do anything through me. But the Lord made us who we are. And often in the Psalms, we can meet God in the praises and needs that we really do have. And this sermon will focus in on the praises to God, what God can do. And so the Psalms have often been called the book of praise and prayers for God's people. So if you need a boost in your prayer life, or if you've run out of praises to Him, you look in the Psalms and meet God again and what He could do for you. And so it's an exciting thing. Recently, I would go through a difficult time or a hard time, I would turn to the Psalms and just read Psalms that deal with that particular subject. People getting wiped out or overwhelmed or not being able to sense the strength of God, I would read passages like, have mercy on me, O God. Lord, I can't see. The light of day is your hand guiding me, yes or no. I would read those passages, and that would be of help because I figured, well, God, He can, you know, He knows my heart. He can shoulder that burden with me, and off I go. But more recently, I have also read Psalms of praise in times of difficulty. Not to talk myself out of what's really happening, but to remind myself who God is. And I've found if I turn to passages like Psalm 35 that says, delight, or 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll meet your heart's needs. Or if I read Psalm 113, may the Lord be praised from sunup to sundown, no matter what else is happening. Praise goes to God. That I find my heart strengthened. And I find, like the songwriter says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. So praise is the big work of heaven. And my question to myself and you is, are we in on that? Is that something that's a part of who we are on a regular basis? In the 1700s, Jonathan Edwards once preached a sermon entitled, Praise, the Chief Employment of Heaven. Of all the work that goes on throughout the universe, I would have to say this, more work gets done in heaven than on earth. I don't know if you ever thought of it that way, but tons more. You know, that's an understatement. Much more work gets done in heaven than on earth. And one of the chief works of heaven is the praise of God. And every time you look in the book of Revelation, for example, and God is pictured, He's pictured being worshipped. And whether it's angels or whether it's people, they are simply overwhelmed with God's goodness. And when you and I are walking in health with the Lord, we catch that and we begin to experience God's goodness. We say, He is really good. And we are overwhelmed by His kindness and goodness and faithfulness. I've heard people go through great trial, for example, in hospitals or even loss of a dear loved one, and say, you know, with integrity, and they're not fooling themselves, they're just talking themselves through pain. They really say, God is faithful, God is good. And I hope you can meet Him that way for you in the trial that you're in. Edwards put the praise of God this way in heaven. He said, God Himself enjoys infinite happiness and perfect bliss. Now, none of us had a week like that. He said, how'd your week go? I enjoyed infinite happiness and perfect bliss. Well, I'm coming to your house. And yet he said, God is that way, yet he is not inactive. He doesn't hoard it for himself. He aggressively recruits you to enjoy him also. And he does so in an active manner. Some people have a knack for music. We've been blessed by that this morning. Piano, organ, trumpet, guitar, and singing. And some, it seems like they were born with a trumpet in their hand or a musical instrument in their hand. When you and I were created, we were born with worship in our soul. We have a knack for it. And when we worship God, the knack is fulfilled. If we don't worship God, we'll seek to worship other things. And we really, we got the wrong target for all our praises. But God invites us to enjoy his happiness. He says, come and see, taste and see the Lord is good. And so praise as the chief work of heaven, you and I are invited. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite authors, says when he leads a worship service, he's a pastor, he says, the most important thing I say in any worship service is let us worship God. Let us worship God. I was thinking of he's not here today, so we could talk about him. Pastor Wood, when he would teach people, he would always say, you know, as a Christian, you have three main goals, worship and fellowship and evangelism. And he would say, if you worship first, those other two will be very healthy. Worship God. And that's what the Bible encourages us to do. When do we worship God? Opportunities all the time. Paul in prison and writing to a church that was threatened by heresy and common everyday problems. He told them this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. In Revelation, when did they worship God? Day and night. And think about what's happening on earth around us. Every hour, in some groups or some hearts, thousands and thousands are worshiping the Lord. Even if it's a short prayer. Thank you, God, for this hamburger. For this piece of daily bread. Thank you, God, for being with me in the trial. God is praised. His honor has a lot of momentum to it. It drowns out other concerns. And it puts those concerns in their rightful place under the lordship of Christ. When we went to the ocean, if we just got near the ocean, the sound of the ocean drowned out a lot of other things. If our kids were 100 feet away, they couldn't hear us. Come in. They couldn't hear. And when we're close to the Lord, some of our problems, the sting of them, gets under the sovereignty of God where they belong. And we know his praises from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. And he helps us in our trials when we praise him. I was always impressed by the simple testimony of a man named Cliff Armstrong who received Christ when he was 65. So he lived a lot of life and ups and downs. And he said, I need Christ, and turned to true faith in him. He was a widow who got remarried. And he was retired, but he took a job of painting houses just for some extra income. His wife asked him one day, how's the painting coming, Cliff? And he said, just with sincerity, not with a big, you know, cloudy look on his face. He said, and I may have shared this a couple years ago. He said, every stroke of the brush is a praise to God. That's how he tried to see his life. And it was an act of worship, all that he did, all the time, to know that God was good. How can God help us praise him? Some of the things Edwards pointed out, which I share with you. Number one, to praise God teaches us humility. It says, God is big and I am small. And he is holy and I am not. And he is loving and I need his help and forgiveness. The praise of God teaches us humility. Humility is a positive quality he'd share with us. We say, thank you, God, for you. We say, like the psalm writer, Lord, to your name, not to us, be the glory. Edward says, humble yourself before God, and God will give you full enjoyment of him. I like that phrase. Humble yourself before God, and God will give you full enjoyment of Him. I asked myself the question when I was preparing a sermon. I said to myself, how often do I enjoy God? Is that a part of my character? Is that a part of who I am? And so I share that question with you. How often do you enjoy God? Is life just one big pain in the neck after the next? And you kind of suffer it out? Or are you somebody who says, I know, boy, God's good, and I can know His strength every day. Humble yourself. Praise Him. He'll help you to enjoy Him. Secondly, God gives you an excellent work when you praise Him. God could have given you the ministry of mourning and just hurting in this life and throughout all eternity. That could be your calling from Him. But He decided not to do that. He said, in heaven, praise would be the chief work, and on earth, praise would be the chief work to Him. If somebody says, what's your occupation? You can tell them what it is. Work in the home. Work outside the home. I do this. But also, what's your profession? Your profession is to praise God. You were created for that ministry and that enjoyment. It's something the Lord will give you a knack for if you have a heart to Him. And it's beyond an activity, it's a relationship. How do you know when people are praising God? It's a heart experience. I was going to hold this illustration for another day, but I think it fits as someone shared this one. A dad was away on a far trip and came home from that trip, that business trip, and his two daughters come out to greet him. And one daughter runs up to him and says, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And jumps into his arms and hugs him and kisses him five times and said, Daddy, so good to see you. And almost can't get over herself, you know, seeing her dad again. And then the other daughter comes up and says, a little quieter, Dad, hi. Can I carry your suitcases for you? I'll unpack them for you, Dad. And she picks up the suitcases and carries them into the house, does her work. And the question is, which daughter love Dad more? You would say, well, both of them love Dad equally. One did so with a lot of, you know, that's where her heart was. She was out there all over the place. And another one, the way she loved Dad was to say, Dad, I can help. Let me help. And so, and sometimes that's the worship of God that God calls you to, and a praise of Him. He lets you do it the way He built you, you know, and no worship is associated with one particular thing only. It's the heart, that God looks at the heart. And when you praise Him, you'll also experience joy beyond earthly joy, or eternal joy, you might say, Edward said in the third point. Praise will help you experience God's joy Himself, being that the happiest, most joyful place in the universe is heaven, not earth. Happiest, most joyful place in the universe, heaven, not earth. That gives us an anticipation of eternity. It's a kind of pragmatic illustration, but I give it a shot here. For the our local professional football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they actually have two teams. The teams work together all the time. There is one team who we know is the Steelers, and they come on Sundays, and you know, they actually do most of the working of the game. And then a team is with them all the time and works with them all week. They're called the practice squad. If you make the practice squad, that's great. The team who wins, if they get a ring, you get a ring. Okay, they share a lot, but they're the practice squad. They don't even show up for the big event. They're behind the scenes. And heaven is the real team at its best. You might say that's the team that has really learned how to do what they were created to do. And you and I, we're the practice squad. Okay, some of you aren't too happy about that, but believe me, when you catch it, you and I are the practice squad. We say, we get to work with what's really important going on in heaven. Because after all, this is like, you and I, or the earth itself, is not the center of the universe, is it? I mean, we think it is. But you and I, or even the earth itself, is not the center of the universe. God and heaven are the center of the universe. And heaven even takes time to praise for what's happening and God's work here on the earth. So to say, Lord, since heaven is filled with your praise, might my heart be filled with your praise too. People in the Bible, when they turned to God in repentance and praise, would often hit their heart. Jesus said a man came to worship. He wasn't sure where he was with the Lord, so he said, Lord, have mercy on me. He did call out to God. And so when you call out to God, maybe not with a fist to your heart, but in your heart, that's your attitude. I turn to God. I need him. I'll praise him from the heart. I want to be in on the praises of heaven since you were created for that. Another very convicting application for me is this. Praise of God is a wake-up call for where I am at with Christ. Praise of God is a wake-up call for where I am at with Christ. If the Psalms, 150 Psalms, 75% or more are praises to God. You can think of your own prayer life. Do you match the Psalms? Or do you say, I need help remembering how good God is? And it's also a wake-up call. If I enjoy praising God now, I'll enjoy praising him forever. If I don't enjoy praising God now, I won't be praising him forever. I'll be doing something else. I'll be cussing God out forever. What a sad employment that is. You know, we should look at life and look at eternity and just say, God, I don't want you, and everything you did was wrong, and all that comes out of our heart is a missing God himself. And we experience our own the judgment from God when we turn from him. But he invites a peace with him. So I'll give my son so you can praise me forever with his great love. See the road you are on when it comes to praises and ask God to repent. Jesus was trying to comfort people when he prayed. He said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you. You revealed things to even an open-hearted child. And then he says, come to me if you're weary and overburdened. He would give us rest. The Lord connected rest with the praise of himself. So let God teach you about praise of him. And then the last application is praising God will help you overcome the troubles of this world. Powerful verse in Romans 8. I know it was quoted in one of the Sunday school classes a couple weeks ago. It says, Romans 8:18, the suffering of this present world not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. In other words, when we get to heaven, the pains that we feel on an everyday basis now, we won't perhaps even remember them. Someone will say, remember the terrible thing you went through? And you'll say, I kind of do, but it certainly doesn't bother me anymore. Because you'll be so impressed with Christ that all the sufferings that you and I have to go through, they're burdens that are left at heaven's gate. We rejoice in the Lord. When we praise him in this life, I think God allows us to, in a way, take our burden and pass it on to God himself. And it's not to minimize the difficulty we're going through, but it is to say God is bigger and he will help. And this will be to the praise of God, this pain and trial I'm going through. Edwards closes off by saying, there's somebody to help you praise God. There's a group who are kind of cheering us on from heaven's grandstand. And they see us as the practice squad. And they say, come on, come on, you could do it. They're optimists when it comes to us. And Edwards put it this way. He said, thousands and thousands of angels and Christians in heaven are all united with you in dearest love, all committed to praising God. Not just for themselves, but for what God's doing for you. Wow. It's a heavenly thing to say this. I'm glad for what God's doing for me. But in a way, I'm even more glad for what God is doing for you. Or what he would do in a life that would turn to him. and surrender to Him. So may the name of the Lord be praised from the rising of the sun till the place where it sets in your heart and my heart. And meet God by telling Him and reminding your soul once again how good He is. Could we pray together? Lord, thank You for the praises of Your people. They've gone up, I believe, strong this morning from hearts open to You. And teach us, Lord, that it's a humble heart that praises God well, who knows that our next breath or our next meal or our perhaps great opportunity we have this week comes from Your hand. And so may we be the most grateful, praiseful people in all the world. Not because we want a reputation, but because we don't want to miss You. So in our walk and in our work, in the words of our mouth and what we think, Lord, might be from the time we get up till the time we go to sleep, might we say, may the name of the Lord be praised. In Your name we pray. Amen. It's a great song to sing to His honor. Just think of all the things good things He has done. That's a phrase, I think, from the psalm.